We have now 36 days left, not counting Sundays, to look inward at our gifts, to examine our purpose, to put our intentions into perspective, to strengthen our resolve, to plan our course, to engage the evil alive and well in this world. So there is Jesus being tested by Satan, formerly known as the prosecutor back in the days of Job. Satan is testing Jesus, testing the clay vessel, to see whether it holds water. It's much more important, I think, to look at that word as testing, because temptation is a little different, isn't it? Isn't it softer? I'm tempted to eat chocolate. I'm tempted to pass on the freeway when I shouldn't. I'm tempted to push the speed limit just a little bit. I'm tempted by the dangerous decisions that I make in relationships sometimes. I'm tempted to tell that person off. It's interesting to me that in Matthew's gospel we have an order here. You all recognize, of course, the similarities between these things that are happening. The mountain imagery, that's the evocation of Moses. We have 40 days, 40 nights, that symbolism. We're all familiar with that. We talked about it last week even, that these symbols take us deep into the culture and context of the Hebraic faith out of which Jesus emerges. What we have here is I actually can see it in a kind of a fun way. We have two experts on Scripture hurling Scripture at each other. Much like later in Matthew's Gospel, we have the Pharisees, or the leaders, actually, hurling scriptures at Jesus, and Jesus hurling scriptures back at them. Then Satan draws his ammunition from Psalm 91. Jesus responds out of Deuteronomy, chapters 8, chapter 6. It's kind of fun to think about that. I know you've all been in an environment where people are starting to throw their scripture at each other. I know I was raised Southern Baptist. People could do that, let me tell you something. But I was also raised in a tradition where sometimes people would say, I don't know, many of you are old enough to remember Flip Wilson. It was the devil what made me do that. Yeah, and then, of course, on the other side of that, and almost simultaneous in some cases, the Lord filled me with power and gave me the strength, and the Lord made me do this wonderful thing that I did. And the question, of course, comes in, well, where do you operate in all that? Where's your decision-making process? Where is it with you? I mean, what part of you is engaged in this? If the devil's making you do the bad stuff and God's making you do the good stuff, what's left for you to do? It's kind of a challenge. There's an order here. Matthew's gospel, you remember, we had the begats, we had the genealogy, we had the birth narrative, we had the baptism, and now we have Jesus out being tempted for the 40 days. He comes back, and then we have this language of testing going back and forth. We wonder, we look even back, thank goodness we had that Old Testament scripture for today, because we look even back into the Old Testament and we see the temptation in this instance, where the humankind fails in the temptation and they eat the apple of the tree. And ever since then, men have been trying to explain these things, and women have been able to say, well, we've always been stronger than you. But there is an order to all of this, and I wonder about it. And I wonder about this evil in the world. Now, one of the things that we've talked about before is the use of the term the devil or Satan. And I have said to you before, I it's hard for me to use that terminology in this 21st century. I know too much. I went to school. And sometimes that's apparent that I went to school. So it's really hard to do that. And then I listen to what goes on out in this world. I listen to someone say, even yesterday, using Jesus' words, the poor will always be with you. Therefore, they don't need medical care. Because whatever you give to them, they won't use it. They'll just go to the emergency room anyway. And I remind myself that Satan is alive and well. I remind myself that that serpent with the forked tongue has not yet lost all of its imaginings in the world. That people will bring the Word of God, the Scripture, out of the context of the Bible and speak it with forked tongue. Yes. Amazing to me. And I think about this testing time. I think about it. It comes after Jesus' commitment as a baptized person. Comes up out of the water. God says, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. We look at that, and then that's a statement of faith, isn't it? A profession of faith. When you come forward and you have communion on Sunday morning, that's your profession of faith. If you have been baptized, you notice that I didn't tie those two together in any particular order. If you have been baptized and you come forward, you have professed your faith. And to me, the easiest part of what we do is professing our faith. It's the easiest thing to do. I promise to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and I promise to love my neighbor as myself. I promise to do unto others as I expect them to do unto me. I promise to do that, and that's really easy for me to say. And in this 21st century, it's not so easy to do that outside. It's really not. And you know that. You know that. I have heard the suffering that goes on in amongst you and outside this place. And it doesn't, as I have said before, it doesn't matter to me which road you take to get to the mountain. If you go up the right side or if you go up the left side, it's really hard in this world to live out the faith that you profess, whether or not the faith that you profess is a kind of a clay pot which will in fact hold water. I know that because I am struggling with it every single day and have been probably my whole life. I say probably because at some point I lost memory of at certain ages and things like that. So here's the challenge, and I've said this to you before too. Here's the challenge. Every single person in this room is being created this very moment uniquely. You are all given by the grace of God. All of you are given, all of us are given by the grace of God a certain set of gifts. We have our gifts. Our gifts are unique to each and every one of us. And our gifts in this created order are necessary in the created order. I've said to you that before. It's a real question now what we do with those gifts, how we manage those gifts, how we walk in the light of God, bearing the gifts that we have been given. What are we supposed to do with those gifts? I don't have any gifts, Jim. I'm just one of these ordinary people who just gets up in the morning and tries to do the best I can. You are unique, my brothers and sisters. You are unique. You have special characteristics. And you have talents and gifts. This testing thing that we see in Matthew's gospel, I don't think It's a suggestion. I think it's an imperative. I think, especially when we look at Lent, I think it's imperative that we look at the gifts that we have been given, we study them, that we hold them up and look at them in every kind of light, that we wonder about them, and that we use them. We determine to use them. We say to ourselves, God is doing this on purpose. God has given me some kind of something here, and I need to take it outside. And I need to change the world with it in whatever way I can. No matter how small the effort, if I am changing the world in the nature and faith-driven Christianity faith, or whatever faith resembles or strengthens the power of God on earth, however you call God by name, however you examine your life, however you pray, however you do these things, if you are taking it out there and changing the world in one small fashion, you are advancing the realm of God on earth, and that is to be praised, and that takes strength. Better take a breath here too. So the testing is an imperative, and here we are in Lent. This is the first Sunday in Lent. And I believe that we are directed by our gospel to take the time that is necessary to go inside and look, to do the work that we need to do, to resist the acts of Satan in this world, to resist evil where we can see it and find it. And as we understand it, not as I personally understand it, I certainly don't want you to be me. Please, God. I want you to be you. And God wants you to be you. And God wants you to do this your way, as you have understood it. But it takes examination, and that's what we're talking about here. It takes testing. So let's, as we enter into Lent, let's test our faith. Let's look at it and see what it really means. Take the time, whatever you have going on, please, if you can find the time, take the time. And if you must, make the time to look at what's going on inside of you. We have, my brothers and sisters, 36 days left, not counting Sundays, to look inward at our gifts, to examine our purpose, to put our intentions into perspective, to strengthen our resolve, to plan our course, and above all, to be ready to engage the evil which is alive and well in this world. If you look quietly to your left and to your right, remember that these are the people who are walking with you in this. That these are the people who will help you and help me to do this. So let's do it. Let's do it. And may the loving God, Jesus, lift you up in the palm of his hand.